through to your heart.
She turned her head and rasped her tongue over his ear.
You'll be fine, Fireheart. Now let's go.
Fireheart let her take the lead down the slope and across the two-leg farmland. The two cats picked their way over the sticky earth of a plowed field and skirted the two-leg nest where the two loners, Barley and Ravenpaw, lived. Fireheart kept a lookout, but there was no sign of them. He was sorry not to see them, for both cats were good friends to ThunderClan, and Ravenpaw had once trained alongside Fireheart as an apprentice. The distant barking of a dog sent shivers through Fireheart's fur as he remembered the horror of being chased by the pack. Keeping to the shadows of the hedges, they eventually reached the Thunderpath and crouched beside it, their fur ruffled by the wind of monsters racing past them. The strong reek of their fumes flooded Fireheart's nose and throat, and his eyes stung. Cinderpelt braced herself beside him, waiting for a space between the monsters when it would be safe to cross. Fireheart felt anxious for his friend. Her leg had been permanently injured in an accident at the edge of the Thunderpath many moons ago, when she had been his apprentice. The old injury would slow her down. "We'll go together," he meowed, feeling the familiar guilt that he had not prevented her accident. "Whenever you're ready." Cinderpelt gave a tiny nod. Fireheart guessed she was afraid, but she wouldn't admit it. A moment later, after a brightly colored monster flashed past, she mewed,
"Now!"
and limped rapidly out onto the hard black surface. Fireheart bounded at her side, forcing himself not to leave her behind, even though his heart was hammering and every instinct screamed at him to run across as quickly as he could. He heard the roar of a monster in the distance, but before it arrived, he and the medicine cat were safe in the hedgerow on the other side. The medicine cat let out a gusty sigh.
"Thanks, our clan, that's over."
Fireheart murmured agreement, though he knew they still had to face the return journey. Already the sun was sliding down the sky. The land on this side of the Thunderpath was less familiar to Fireheart, and every sense was alert for danger as they began to climb toward high stones. But all he could hear was prey scuffling in the scanty grass. The tempting scent flooded his mouth, and he wished he were allowed to stop and hunt. As Fireheart and Cinderpelt reached the foot of the final slope, the sun was setting behind the peak. The evening shadows were lengthening and a chill crept over the ground. Above his head, Fireheart could make out a square opening beneath an overhang of stone.
"We've reached Mother Mouth," Cinderpelt meowed. "Let's rest for a moment."
She and Fireheart lay down together on a flat rock, while the last of the light died from the sky and the stars of Silverpelt began to appear. The moon flooded all the landscape in a cold, frosty light.
"It's time,"
mewed Cinderpelt. All his misgivings coursed through Fireheart once again, and at first he thought his paws would not carry him. But he rose and began walking forward, the sharp stones biting into his pads, until he stood beneath the arch known to the clans as Mothermouth. A black tunnel yawned into darkness. From his previous visit, Fireheart knew that there was no point in straining his eyes to see what lay ahead. The blackness was unbroken all the way to the cavern where the moonstone lay. As he hesitated, Cinderpelt stepped forward confidently.
"Follow my scent," she told him. "I will lead you to the moonstone. And from now on, until the ritual is over, neither of us must speak."
"But I don't know what to do," Fireheart protested.
"When we reach the moonstone, lie down and press your nose to it."
Her blue eyes gleamed in the moonlight.
"Star Clan will send you sleep, so you may meet with them in dreams."
There was a forest full of questions that Fireheart wanted to ask her, but none whose answers would help him overcome the creeping dread he felt. He bowed his head in silence and followed Cinderpelt as she made her way into the darkness. The tunnel sloped steadily downward, and Fireheart soon lost his sense of direction as it wound back and forth. Sometimes the walls were so close together that his fur and whiskers brushed the sides. His heart thumped wildly, and he opened his mouth to draw in Cinderpelt's comforting scent, terrified at the thought that he might lose her. At last he realized that he could see Cinderpelt's ears outlined against a faint light ahead. Other scents began to reach him, and his whiskers twitched in a flow of cold, fresh air. A heartbeat later, he rounded a bend in the tunnel, and the light grew suddenly stronger. Fireheart narrowed his eyes as he padded forward, sensing that the tunnel had opened out into a cave. High above his head, a hole in the roof showed a chink of night sky. A shaft of moonlight shone through it, falling directly onto a rock in the center of the cavern. Fireheart drew in his breath sharply. He had seen the moonstone once before, but he had forgotten just how startling it was. About 3 tail lengths high, tapering toward its top, it reflected the moonlight in its dazzling crystal, as if a star had fallen to the earth. The white light lit up the whole cave, turning Cinderpelt's gray fur to silver. She turned toward Fireheart and signaled to him with her tail to take his place beside the moonstone. Unable to speak, even if he could think of anything to say, Fireheart obeyed. He lay down in front of the stone, settling his head on his paws so that his nose touched the smooth surface. The cold was a shock, so that he almost drew back. And for a moment he blinked at the light of stars sparkling in the depths of the stone. Then he closed his eyes and waited for StarClan to send him to sleep. Chapter 4. All was darkness and cold. Fireheart had never been so cold. He felt as if every scrap of warmth and life were being sucked out of his body. His legs twitched as painful cramps clutched at them. He imagined that he was made of ice, and if he tried to move, he would shatter into 1,000 brittle fragments. But no dreams came. No sight or sound of StarClan, only the cold and the darkness. Something must be wrong, Fireheart thought, beginning to panic. He dared to open his eyes a narrow slit. At once they flew wide with shock. Instead of the shining moonstone in a cavern far below the ground, he saw short, well-trodden grass stretching away. Night scents flooded over him, of green-growing things moist with dew. A warm breeze ruffled his fur. Scrambling into a sitting position, Fireheart realized he was in the hollow at Four Trees, near the base of the great rock. The towering oaks in full leaf rustled over his head, and Silverpelt glittered beyond them in the night sky. How did I come here? He wondered. Is this the dream that Cinderpelt promised? He raised his head and looked up at the sky. He could not remember its being so clear. Silverpelt looked closer than he had ever seen before, scarcely higher than the topmost branches of the oaks. As Fireheart gazed at it, he realized something that sent the blood thrilling through his veins like liquid fire. The stars were moving. They swirled before his disbelieving eyes and began to spiral downward, toward the forest, toward Four Trees, toward him. Fireheart waited, his heart pounding. And the cats of StarClan came stalking down the sky. Frost sparkled at their paws and glittered in their eyes. Their pelts were white flame. They carried the scent of ice and fire and the wild places of the night. Fireheart crouched before them. He could scarcely bear to go on looking, and yet he could not bear to look away. He wanted to absorb this moment into every hair on his pelt so it would be his forever. After a time that might have lasted 100 seasons or a single heartbeat, all the cats of StarClan had come down to Earth. All around Fireheart, the hollow of Four Trees was lined with their shimmering bodies and blazing eyes. Fireheart crouched in the center, surrounded on all sides. He began to realize that some of the starry cats, those sitting closest to him, were achingly familiar.
Blue Star.
Joy pierced him like a thorn in his heart.
And Yellow Fang.
Then he drew in a familiar, sweet scent and turned his head to see the tortoiseshell fur and gentle face that he had dreamed of so often.
Spotted Leaf. Oh, Spotted Leaf.
His beloved medicine cat had come back to him. Fireheart wanted to spring to his paws and yowl his joy to the whole forest, but awe kept him silent, still crouching.
Welcome, Fireheart.
The sound seemed to belong to all the cats Fireheart had ever known, and yet at the same time it was one clear voice.
Are you ready to receive your 9 lives?
Fireheart glanced around, but he couldn't see any cat speaking.
Yes,
he replied, forcing his voice not to shake.
I'm ready.
A golden tabby cat, rose to his paws and strode toward him, his head and tail high. Fireheart recognized Lionheart, who had become Blue Star's deputy when Fireheart was still an apprentice, and who had died soon after in a battle with Shadow Clan. He had been an old cat when Fireheart knew him, but now he looked young and strong again, his coat shining with pale fire.
Lionheart,
Fireheart gasped.
Is it really you?
Lionheart did not reply. When he was close enough, he stooped and touched his nose to Fireheart's head. It burned against him like the hottest flame and the coldest ice. Fireheart's instinct was to shrink away, but he could not move.
With this life, I give you courage, Lionheart murmured. Use it well in defense of your clan.
And once a bolt of energy seared through Fireheart like lightning, setting his fur on end and filling his senses with a deafening roar. His eyes grew dark, and his mind filled with a chaotic swirl of battles and hunts, the feeling of claws raking across fur and teeth meeting in the flesh of prey. The pain ebbed, leaving Fireheart weak and trembling. The darkness faded, and he found himself in the unearthly clearing again. If that was one life received, he had 8 more to go.
How will I bear it? He thought in dismay.
Lionheart was already turning away, moving back to his place in the ranks of Star Clan. Another cat rose and came toward Fireheart. At first, Fireheart did not recognize him, but then he glimpsed a dark, dappled coat and bushy red tail and realized this must be Red Tail. Fireheart had never met the ThunderClan deputy, who was murdered by Tiger Star on the very day Fireheart came to the forest as a kitty pet. But he had sought out the truth about his death and used it to prove Tiger Star's treachery. Like Lionheart, Redtail bowed his head and touched his nose to Fireheart's.
With this life, I give you justice, he mewed. Use it well as you judge the actions of others.
Once more, an agonizing spasm rushed through Fireheart, and he had to grit his teeth to stop himself from yowling. When he recovered, panting as if he had raced all the way back to camp, he saw Redtail watching him.
Thank you, the former deputy meowed solemnly. You revealed the truth when no other cat could.
Fireheart managed to nod in acknowledgement as Redtail went back to sit beside Lionheart again, and a third cat emerged from the ranks. This time, Fireheart's jaws dropped open when he recognized the beautiful tabby, her coat glimmering with a silvery sheen. It was Graystripe's lost love, Silverstream, the RiverClan queen who had died bearing his kits. Her paws scarcely skimmed the ground as she bent down to him.
With this life, I give you loyalty to what you know to be right, she meowed.
Fireheart wondered if she was referring to the way he had helped Graystripe to see his forbidden love, trusting to the strength of their relationship, even though it went against the warrior code.
Use it well to guide your clan in times of trouble, Silverstream urged him.
Fireheart braced himself for another agonizing pang, but this time there was less pain as the new life rushed through him. He was aware of a warm glow of love, and realized dimly that that was what had marked out Silverstream's life. Love for her clan, for Graystripe, and for the kits she had died to give life to.
Silverstream, he whispered, as the silver-gray she-cat turned away again. Don't go yet. Haven't you any message for Graystripe?
But Silverstream said nothing more, only glancing back over her shoulder, her eyes filled with love and sorrow that told Fireheart more than all the words she could ever say. He closed his eyes, preparing himself for the next life-giving. When he looked up again, a fourth cat was approaching him. This time, it was Running Wind, the ThunderClan warrior who had been killed by Tiger Star in a fight near the Thunderpath.
With this life, I give you tireless energy, he meowed as he bowed his head to touch Fireheart. Use it well to carry out the duties of a leader.
As the life coursed through Fireheart, he felt as if he were racing through the forest, his paws skimming the ground, his fur flattened by the wind. He knew the exhilaration of the hunt and the sheer joy of speed, and he had the feeling that he could outrun any enemy forever. His gaze followed Running Wind as he returned to his place. When the fifth cat appeared, his heart gave a leap of joy. It was Brindleface, Cloudtail's foster mother, who had been cruelly slaughtered by Tigerstar to give the dog pack a taste for cat blood.
"With this life, I give you protection," she told him. "Use it well to care for your clan, as a mother cares for her kits."
Fireheart expected this life to be gentle and loving like Silverstream's, and he wasn't ready for the bolt of ferocity that transfixed him. He felt as though all the fury of their ancient ancestors, Tiger Clan and Lion Clan, were pulsing through him, challenging any cat to harm the weaker, faceless shadows that crouched by his paws. Shocked and trembling, Fireheart recognized a mother's desire to protect her kits and realized how much Brindleface had loved them all, even Cloudtail, who was not her own. "I must tell him," Fireheart thought as the fury ebbed, before he remembered that he was bound to say nothing to any cat about what he had experienced in the ritual. Brindleface drew back to sit with the other cats of StarClan again, and another familiar figure took her place. Guilt washed over Fireheart as he recognized Swiftpaw. "I'm sorry," he murmured as he looked into the apprentice's eyes. "It was my fault you died." Angry at Bluestar's refusal to make him a warrior and desperate to prove himself, Swiftpaw had gone out to track down whatever was preying on the cats in the forest. The dog pack had killed him, and Fireheart knew he would blame himself forever for not trying harder to make Bluestar change her mind. But Swiftpaw showed no anger now. His eyes shone with a wisdom far beyond his age as he touched his nose to Fireheart's. "With this life, I give you mentoring. Use it well to train the young cats of your clan." The life Swiftpaw gave him was a pang of anguish so great Fireheart thought it would stop his heart. It ended in a jolt of pure terror and a flash of light red as blood. Fireheart knew he was experiencing what Swiftpaw had felt in the last moments of his life. As it ebbed away, leaving Fireheart gasping, he began to feel like a hollow in the ground as rain falls into it and spills over. He thought that his strength would hardly sustain him to receive lives from the three cats that were still to come. The first was Yellowfang. The old medicine cat had the same air of obstinate independence and courage that had impressed and frustrated Fireheart in equal measure when she was alive. He remembered the last time he had seen her, dying in her den after the fire. Then she had been in despair, wondering if StarClan would receive her even though she had killed her own son, Broken Tail, to put an end to his bloodthirsty plotting. Now the gleam of humor was back in her yellow eyes as she stooped to touch Fireheart.
"With this life, I give you compassion," she announced. "Use it well for the elders of your clan, and the sick, and all those weaker than yourself."
This time, even knowing the pain he would have to bear, Fireheart closed his eyes and drank in the life hungrily, wanting all of Yellowfang's spirit, all her courage and her loyalty to the clan that was not hers by birth. He received it like a tide of light surging through him, her humor, her sharp tongue, her warm-heartedness, and her sense of honor. He felt closer to her than ever before.
"Oh, Yellowfang,"
Fireheart whispered, his eyes blinking open again.
"I've missed you so much."
The medicine cat was already moving away. The cat who took her place was younger, stepping lightly, the sparkle of stars in her fur and in her eyes. Spotted Leaf, the beautiful tortoise shell who had been Fireheart's first love. She had come to him in dreams, but he had never seen her as plainly as this since she had been alive. He breathed in her sweet scent as she bent over him. This cat, more than any, was the one with whom he wanted to speak, because the time they had had together had been too short to let them share their true feelings.
"Spotted Leaf, with this life, I give you love," she murmured in her soft voice. "Use it well, for all the cats in your care, and especially for Sandstorm."
There was no pain in the life that poured into Fireheart now. It held the warmth of the high sun in Greenleaf, burning to the tips of his paws. It was pure love. At the same time, he experienced the sense of security he had known as a tiny kit, nuzzling his mother. He gazed up at Spotted Leaf, wrapped in a contentment he had never known before. He thought he caught a proud gleam in her eyes as she turned away, and his disappointment that she had not stayed to talk to him was mixed with relief that she approved of his new choice. Now he had no reason to fear that he was being unfaithful to Spotted Leaf in his love for Sandstorm. At last, Blue Star approached Fireheart. She was not the old, defeated cat Fireheart had known recently, her mind giving way under the stress of her clan's troubles. This was Blue Star at the height of her strength and power, prowling toward him across the clearing like a lion. Fireheart was almost dazzled by the glory of starlight around her, but he forced himself to meet her blue gaze squarely.
"Welcome, Fireheart, my apprentice, my warrior, and my deputy,"
she greeted him.
"I always knew you would make a great leader one day."
As Fireheart bowed his head, Blue Star touched him with her nose and went on.
"With this life, I give you nobility and certainty and faith. Use it well as you lead your clan in the ways of Star Clan and the Warrior Code."
The warmth of Spotted Leaf's life had lulled Fireheart, and he was unprepared for the agony that shook him as he received Blue Star's. He shared the fierceness of her ambition, the anguish she had suffered when she gave up her kits, the ferocity of battle after battle in the service of her clan. He felt her terror as her mind fragmented and she lost her trust in Star Clan. The rush of power grew stronger and stronger until Fireheart thought his pelt would never contain it. Just as he thought he must yowl his pain or die, it began to ebb, ending in a sense of calm acceptance and joy. A long, soft sigh passed through the clearing. All the Star Clan warriors had risen to their paws. Blue Star stayed in the center of the clearing and signaled with her tail that Fireheart should rise too. He obeyed her shakily, feeling as if the fullness of life inside him would spill over when he moved. His body felt as battered as if he had fought the hardest battle of his life, and yet his spirit soared with the strength of the lives he had been granted.
"I hail you by your new name, Firestar,"
Blue Star announced.
"Your old life is no more. You have now received the 9 lives of a leader, and Star Clan grants to you the guardianship of Thunder Clan. Defend it well. Care for young and old. Honor your ancestors and the traditions of the Warrior Code. Live each life with pride and dignity."
"Firestar! Firestar!"
Just as the Forest Clans would acclaim a new warrior by name, so the cats of Star Clan acclaimed Firestar in rich voices that tingled in the air.
"Firestar! Firestar!"
Suddenly the chanting broke off with a startled hiss. Firestar tensed, aware that something was wrong. Blue Star's glowing eyes were fixed on something behind him. He spun around and let out a choking cry. A massive hill of bones had appeared at the other side of the clearing, many tail lengths high. It shone with an unnatural light, so that Firestar could see each separate bone edged as if with fire. The bones of cats and the bones of prey all jumbled together. A hot wind swept over him, bearing the reek of carrion, even though the bones gleamed white and clean. Firestar gazed wildly around him, seeking help or answers from the other cats. But the clearing was dark. The cats of Star Clan had vanished, leaving him alone with the terrible hill of bones. As Firestar felt panic welling up inside him, he sensed the familiar presence of Blue Star by his side, warm fur pressed against his flank. He could not see her in the darkness, but her voice whispered in his ear.
"Something terrible is coming, Firestar. 4 will become 2. Lion and tiger will meet in battle, and blood will rule the forest."
Her scent and the warmth of her fur faded away as she finished speaking.
Wait!
Firestar yelled.
Don't leave me! Tell me what you mean!
But there was no reply, no explanation of the dreadful prophecy. Instead, the red light that gleamed from the Hill of Bones glowed brighter. Firestar stared at it in horror. Blood had begun to ooze out between the bones. The trickles merged into a river that flowed steadily toward him until the stench of blood clung to his fur. He tried to flee and found his paws were fixed in place. A heartbeat later, the sticky red tide was washing around him, gurgling and reeking of death.
No!
Firestar yowled. But there was no response from the forest, just the steady whisper of blood lapping hungrily at his fur. Chapter 5 Firestar jolted awake in terror. He was lying in the cavern beneath high stones with his nose pressed against the moonstone. The shaft of moonlight had vanished, and only the faintest glimmer of starshine lit the cave. But there was no relief in waking up, for the stench of blood was still all around him, and his fur felt hot and sticky. Heart thudding wildly, Firestar scrambled to his paws. Across the cave he could just make out Cinderpelt. She had risen too and was signaling urgently to him with her tail. Firestar's first impulse was to pour out to her all that he had seen, but he remembered her instructions to keep silent until they had left Mothermouth. Paws skidding on the cave floor in his haste, he pushed past the medicine cat and bolted into the tunnel. As he stumbled upward toward the open air, following his own scent trail along the dark passage, the way seemed twice as long as before. Firestar's fur scraped against the tunnel walls, and he was filled with horror at the thought of being buried alive. The air felt too thick to breathe, and as his panic grew in the unbroken blackness of the tunnel, he began to imagine that it would never end, that he would be trapped forever in blood and darkness. Then he saw the pale outline of the tunnel entrance and burst out into the still night air, where the moon was sinking behind thin clouds. Firestar dug his claws into the loose earth of the hillside while shudders passed through his body from nose to tail. A few moments later, Cinderpelt emerged behind him and pressed herself against his side until he managed to control his dreadful shivering and his breathing steadied.
What happened?
She asked quietly.
Don't you know?
Cinderpelt shook her head.
I know that the ritual was interrupted. The scent of blood told me that. But I don't know why.
She looked deep into his eyes. Her own were burning with concern.
Tell me. Did you receive your 9 lives and your name?
Firestar nodded, and the medicine cat relaxed slightly.
Then the rest can wait. Let's go.
For a moment, Firestar felt too exhausted to move, but he did not want to stay anywhere near Mothermouth and the terrible things that he had seen in the cave. Shakily, paw step by paw step, he began to descend the hill. Cinderpelt padded beside him, sometimes nudging him toward an easier route, and Firestar was grateful for her unquestioning presence. As they drew farther away from the tunnel, the stench of blood faded from his mouth and nostrils. Still, Firestar felt that even if he washed for a moon, he would never get rid of the last traces from his fur. He began to feel stronger, but he was still very tired. And as soon as the rocky hillside gave way to grass, he flopped down in the shelter of a hawthorn bush.
I've got to rest, he meowed.
Cinderpelt tucked herself into the grass beside him, and for a few moments the two cats shared tongues in silence. Firestar wanted to tell the medicine cat what he had seen, but something kept him silent. Partly he wanted to protect her from the dreadful fear he had felt. Even if she could explain what Blue Star's prophecy meant, would it help to have another cat look forward to the future with the dread that he now felt? And partly he hoped that if he never spoke of the dreadful vision, it might not come true. Or was there a curse on his leadership that nothing could avert? Blue Star had told him before she died that he was the fire who would save the clan. How could that be true? If the fire was quenched by the tidal wave of blood he had just seen, Firestar had experienced prophetic dreams before, and he had learned to take them seriously. He could not ignore this, especially when it came at such a significant moment, while he was receiving his 9 lives and his new name. Cinderpelt broke into his reverie.
It's okay if you don't want to talk about it yet, you know?
Firestar pushed his muzzle into her fur, grateful for her warmth. I'll think about it first, he mewed slowly. Right now, it's too close. He shivered again at the memory. Cinderpelt, he went on. I've never told any cat this before, but sometimes I have dreams that tell me about the future. Cinderpelt's ears twitched in surprise.
That's unusual. Clan leaders and medicine cats commune with Star Clan, but I never heard of ordinary warriors having prophetic dreams. How long has this been going on?
Since I was a kitty pet, Firestar admitted, remembering the dream of hunting a mouse that had first driven him into the forest. But I don't know if the dreams come from Star Clan. After all, before he came to the forest, he hadn't even known about Star Clan. Could they have been watching over him even then? The medicine cat's eyes were thoughtful.
In the end, all dreams come from Star Clan, she murmured. Do they always come true?
Yes, Firestar replied, but not always in the way I expect. Some are easier to understand than others.
Then you should bear that in mind when you're trying to understand this latest dream.
Cinderpelt gave him a comforting lick.
Remember, Firestar, you're not alone. Now that you're clan leader, Star Clan will share many things with you. But I'm here to help you interpret the signs. Tell me as much or as little as you want.
Though Firestar was grateful for her understanding, Cinderpelt's words chilled him. His new relationship with Star Clan was driving him along new paths where he might not want to go. For a few heartbeats, he longed to be no more than a warrior again, hunting with Graystripe or sharing tongues with Sandstorm in the den. Thank you, Cinderpelt, he meowed, forcing himself to his paws. I promise I'll talk to you whenever I feel the need. But even though he meant what he said, deep down he wondered how helpful she would be. Firestar couldn't help feeling that this was something he had to face alone. He let out a long sigh. Let's keep going. However much Firestar longed to get home, his strength was failing. Since the discovery of the dog pack and the heart-stopping dash through the forest to lead them to the gorge, he had eaten little and scarcely slept except to dream. The long journey to Highstones and the agony of receiving his 9 lives, followed by the terrible vision, had taken all he had to give. His steps became slower and more uncertain. They were passing Barley's farm when the medicine cat gave his shoulder a sharp nudge.
That's enough, Firestar, she meowed firmly. As your medicine cat, I'm telling you that you need to rest. Let's see if Barley and Ravenpaw are at home.
Good idea. Firestar felt too relieved at the prospect of resting to argue. Cautiously, the two cats approached the two-leg barn. Firestar was worried that the dogs might be unchained, but their scent was faint and distant. Much stronger was the scent of cats. And as they drew closer, Firestar spotted a muscular black-and-white Tom squeezing himself through a gap in the door.
Barley, he meowed in greeting. It's good to see you. You know Cinderpelt, our medicine cat?
Barley gave both cats a brisk nod.
It's good to see you too, Fireheart.
Firestar,
Cinderpelt corrected him.
He's clan leader now.
Barley's eyes widened in astonishment.
Congratulations! But that means that Blue Star must be dead. I'm sorry.
She died as she lived, protecting her clan, Firestar told him.
I can see there's a story to tell, meowed Barley, turning back to the barn. And Ravenpaw will want to hear it. Come on in.
Inside the barn was warm and dark, full of the scent of hay and mice. Firestar listened to the telltale scuttering noises, and his head spun with hunger. A soft place to sleep and all the prey you can eat, he remarked, trying not to let his desperate hunger show. Better not tell ThunderClan, or they'll all be out here, wanting to be loners, Barley chuckled softly.
Ravenpaw, he called. Come and see who's here.
A dark shape sprang down from a nearby stack of hay with a welcoming purr. As an apprentice, Ravenpaw had been the only cat in ThunderClan who knew the truth about the death of Redtail, that he had been murdered by Ravenpaw's mentor, Tigerstar. When Tigerstar tried to kill his apprentice to prevent him from reporting what he had seen, Firestar had found this new home for him. The life of a loner suited Ravenpaw much better than that of a warrior. Yet he had never forgotten his birth clan, and remained a loyal friend to his former clanmates.
"So Blue Star is dead," he murmured when Barley had passed on the news, his eyes clouded with grief. "I'll never forget her."
Barley gave a comforting rumble in his throat, and Firestar sensed how welcoming he must have been to the scared young apprentice who had come to him so many moons ago. Straightening up, Ravenpaw flashed the black and white cat a grateful glance. "So you're clan leader now," he continued to Firestar. "Star Clan made a good choice." He led the way to the other side of the barn. "Would you like to hunt?"
"That would be great,"
replied Cinderbelt. She gave Firestar a questioning look and murmured,
"Shall I catch something for you?"
In spite of his exhaustion, Firestar shook his head. A fine clan leader he would make if he couldn't catch his own prey. He stood alert, listening, and dropped into the hunter's crouch when he heard a soft scuffling deep within the hay. Pinpointing the mouse by hearing rather than sight, he sprang and dispatched the creature with a swift bite. Ravenpaw was lucky, Firestar reflected as he picked up the prey in his jaws and padded back to the others to eat. This was twice the size of the leaf-bear-thin mice in the forest, and easier to catch in the shadows of the barn. He gulped it down in a few famished mouthfuls and felt his strength beginning to return. "Have some more," Ravenpaw urged. "There are plenty here." When Firestar and Cinderpelt had eaten as much as they could manage, they lay in the soft hay, sharing tongues with their friends and bringing them up to date with clan news. Ravenpaw and Barley listened, their eyes huge with shock as Firestar told them about the dog pack.
"I always knew Tigerstar was bloodthirsty," Ravenpaw meowed. "But I didn't think even he would try to destroy a whole clan like that."
"Thanks, Star Clan, he didn't succeed," Firestar replied. "But he came pretty close. I don't want to go through anything like that again."
"You'll have to do something to stop Tigerstar now, before he tries something else," Barley pointed out.
Firestar nodded. He hesitated, then confessed, "But I don't know how I'm going to do anything without Blue Star. Everything seems dark and overwhelming." He said nothing about the interruption of his leadership ritual or the horror of his dream. But he saw from the sympathetic look in Cinderpelt's eyes that she knew what he was thinking.
"Remember, the whole clan is behind you," she mewed. "No cat will ever forget that you and Blue Star saved us from the pack."
"Maybe they expect too much of me."
"Nonsense!"
Cinderpelt's tone was bracing.
"They know you're going to be a great leader, and they'll all stand by you to the last breath."
"So will I,"
Ravenpaw offered, startling Firestar. The sleek black Tom looked slightly embarrassed as Firestar turned to look at him, but he went on.
"I know I'm not a warrior, but if you want my help, you have only to ask."
Firestar blinked his gratitude.
"Thank you, Ravenpaw. May I come to the camp soon?"
Ravenpaw asked.
"I'd like to pay my last respects to Blue Star at her burial place."
"Yes, of course," Firestar replied. "Blue Star gave you the right to go where you like on ThunderClan territory. There's no reason to change that now." Ravenpaw dipped his head.
"Thank you."
As he looked up again, Firestar saw a glow of respect in his eyes.
"You saved my life once, Firestar. I'll never be able to repay you for that. But if trouble with Tigerstar comes, I'll be proud to stand with the warriors of ThunderClan and fight him to the death."
Chapter 6
Twilight was thickening the shadows under the trees by the time Firestar and Cinderpelt slipped down the ravine toward the camp entrance. They had slept in the barn with Barley and Ravenpaw until the sun was well above the horizon and feasted again on plump mice before they set off for their own territory. Though Firestar was tired, some of the horror of his dream was fading, and he was looking forward to seeing his clanmates again. At first, the new leader emerged unnoticed from the gorse tunnel with Cinderpelt, White Storm and Brackenfur were sitting together near the nettle patch, finishing off some fresh kill, while three of the apprentices wrestled playfully outside their den. Firestar picked out the dark tabby pelt of his own apprentice, Bramblepaw, and reminded himself to get him back on a strict training schedule as soon as he could. There was no reason why leadership duties should prevent him from mentoring the young cat. After all, Blue Star had been a diligent mentor to him. He was padding over to White Storm when he heard his name yowled loudly and turned to see Ashpaw racing across the clearing from the elder's den. The apprentice's gray fur was bristling with excitement.
Fireheart! No, Firestar! You're back!
His noisy greeting alerted the rest of the clan, and soon they were pressing around Firestar, calling him by his new name and welcoming him home. Firestar wanted to give himself up to the uncomplicated enjoyment of their warm fur pressed against his, but he could not ignore the awe in their eyes as they gazed at him. He felt a sharp pang in his heart as he was reminded yet again of the new distance between himself and the rest of his clan.
Did you really see Star Clan?
Asked Fernpaw, her eyes wide. I really did, Firestar replied, but I'm not allowed to say anything about the ceremony. Fernpaw didn't look disappointed. Her eyes brimming with admiration, she turned to Dustpelt and meowed,
I bet he's going to be a great leader.
You'd better be, replied Dustpelt.
His love for Fernpaw wouldn't let him argue with her, even though Firestar was well aware that he had never been Dustpelt's favorite cat. But the brown-coated warrior gave him a nod of respect, and Firestar knew that Dustpelt's loyalty to the warrior code would ensure his support.
It's good to see you back,
meowed Graystripe, shouldering through the warriors to reach Firestar's side. At least he seemed to have recovered from the awe he'd felt when Blue Star had named Firestar leader as she lay dying. Now his yellow eyes were filled with friendship and sympathy.
You look like a fox that's been dead for a moon. Was it tough?
It was, Firestar murmured, just for Graystripe's ears. But Cloudtail caught what he had said.
It's only your belief in ancient traditions that makes you think you can't be leader without dragging all the way up to Highstones and back. As far as I'm concerned, you've already proved yourself to be the true leader of this clan, Firestar.
Firestar gave his kin a hard stare. He was grateful for Cloudtail's loyalty and respect, but felt as frustrated as ever that the younger cat did not share his beliefs. He wished he could tell the white warrior exactly what he had experienced, if only to shock him into respect for Star Clan. But he knew that was impossible.
Shh! The ancient traditions still matter.
The quiet rebuke came from Lostface, who had come to join Cloudtail. She licked his ear and added,
Star Clan watch over us all.
Cloudtail returned the lick, his tongue passing gently over the injured side of Lostface's face. Firestar's annoyance faded. He couldn't help admiring Cloudtail's unwavering devotion to Lostface in spite of her terrible injuries. His kin might be difficult and hot-headed, with little respect for the warrior code, but he had brought this young cat back from the brink of death and given her a reason to live. As the welcoming cats began to disperse, Firestar caught the eye of Whitestorm, who had greeted him and then backed off a pace or two, waiting to speak. How are things in camp? Firestar asked. Was there any trouble while I was away?
Not a thing, the senior warrior reported. We've patrolled the whole territory, and there's no sign of dogs or of Shadow Clan.
Good, Firestar mewed. Glancing at the well-stocked fresh kill pile, he added, I see some cats have been hunting.
Sandstorm took a patrol out, and Mousefur and Brackenfur put the apprentices to work, replied Whitestorm. Bramblepaw is a skillful hunter. I lost count of how much prey he brought in.
Good, Firestar repeated. His pleasure in hearing his apprentice praised was tempered by the uneasiness he always felt when Tigerstar's son was mentioned. Tigerstar had been a good hunter too, but that had not stopped him from becoming a murderer and a traitor. Cinderpelt came up to him again.
I'm off to my den,
she meowed.
Call me if you want anything. Have you remembered that you need to appoint a deputy before Moonhigh?
Firestar nodded. Other duties had been more urgent. But now he needed to give this decision serious thought. Because she had been so shocked by Tigerstar's treachery and exile, Blue Star had made Firestar's own appointment a day late, without the proper ceremony. The clan had been terrified that Star Clan would be angry and that had made things very difficult for Firestar. He was determined not to make the same mistake with his own deputy. Watching Cinderpelt limping across the clearing to her den, Firestar realized that so far two cats had not come to greet him. One was Darkstripe. That did not surprise him. The other was Sandstorm, and that disturbed him. Had he done something to make her angry? Ben Firestar spotted her a few tail lengths away, watching him with an uncharacteristically diffident air. Her green eyes flickered toward him and away again as he padded over to her. Sandstorm, he mewed, are you okay?
I'm fine, Firestar.
She didn't meet his gaze, but looked down at her paws.
It's good to have you back.
Now Firestar was certain something was wrong. He had been looking forward all the long journey home to lying beside Sandstorm in the warrior's den, to sharing tongues with her and catching up on her news, but he would not be able to do that again. From now on, he would sleep alone in Blue Star's old den, his den now, underneath the High Rock. And with that realization came understanding of what was troubling Sandstorm. For all her confidence when he left the camp, she was not at ease with him now.
Mouse brain, he purred affectionately, pressing his muzzle against hers. I'm still the same cat. Nothing has changed.
Everything's changed,
Sandstorm insisted.
You're clan leader now.
And you're still the best hunter and the most beautiful cat in the clan, Firestar assured her. You'll always be special to me.
But you're so far away,
meowed Sandstorm, unconsciously echoing Firestar's own fears.
You're closer to Cinderpelt now than anyone else. You both know secrets about Star Clan that ordinary warriors don't.
Cinderpelt's our medicine cat, Firestar replied. And she's one of the best friends I have, but she's not you, Sandstorm. I know things are difficult right now. There's so much I have to do to take over the clan, especially after what Tigerstar tried to do with the pack of dogs. But in a few days, we'll be able to go out on patrol together, just like we used to.
To his relief, he felt Sandstorm relax, and some of the uncertainty faded from her eyes.
You'll need an evening patrol,
she mewed. Her voice was crisp, more like the old Sandstorm, though Firestar guessed she was covering up her unhappiness.
Shall I round up some cats and go?
Good idea, Firestar tried to match her business-like manner. Go and have a sniff around Sunning Rocks. Make sure River Clan hasn't been up to its old tricks. It would be just like Leopard Star, the ambitious leader of River Clan, to try to claim the long disputed territory while Thunder Clan was shaken by the loss of Blue Star.
Right.
Sandstorm hurried off toward the nettle patch, where Brackenfur and Longtail were eating. Brackenfur called to his apprentice, Tawnypaw, and all four cats headed for the gorse tunnel. Firestar made his way toward the leader's den. He still couldn't think of it as his own, and he found himself missing his comfy patch of moss in the warrior's den even more sharply. Before he reached it, he heard his name being called and turned to see Graystripe hurrying after him.
Firestar, I wanted to tell you—
He broke off as if he was embarrassed.
What's the problem?
Well—
Graystripe hesitated and then went on in a rush.
I don't know if you were thinking of choosing me to be your deputy, but I wanted to say that you don't have to. I know I haven't been back in the clan long enough, and some cats still don't trust me. I won't be hurt if you pick another cat.
Firestar felt a pang of regret. He would have chosen Graystripe above all other cats to hunt and fight by his side and to give him the special support that a deputy gave the clan leader. But it was true that he could not choose Graystripe so soon after his friend's return from RiverClan. Though Firestar himself had no doubt of his friend's loyalty to ThunderClan, Graystripe still had to prove himself before the rest of the clan would accept him. Leaning forward, Firestar touched noses with his friend. Thank you, Graystripe, he mewed. I'm glad you understand. Graystripe shrugged, more embarrassed than ever.
I just wanted to say.
He turned and vanished through the branches of the warrior's den. Firestar felt choked with emotion and shook himself briskly. Padding around the high rock to the den entrance, he heard movement inside. Thornpaw, the oldest apprentice, whirled around as Firestar went in.
Oh, Firestar,
he exclaimed.
Whitestorm told me to fetch you some new bedding and some fresh kill.
He flicked his tail to the far side of the den, where a rabbit lay beside a thick pile of moss and heather.
That looks great, Thornpaw,
Firestar meowed. Thank you, and thank Whitestorm for me. The ginger apprentice dipped his head and started to leave, only to halt as Firestar called him back. Remind Mousefur to have a word with me tomorrow, Firestar mewed, naming Thornpaw's mentor. It's about time we started thinking about your warrior ceremony. It's long overdue, he reflected. Thornpaw had proved himself an able apprentice, and would have been a warrior moons ago but for Bluestar's reluctance to trust any of her clan. He was the only one left of the group that had included Swiftpaw and Lostface, neither of whom would ever experience a warrior ceremony. Thornpaw's eyes lit up with excitement.
Yes, Firestar! Thanks!
He meowed and dashed off. Firestar settled himself in the mossy nest and took a few mouthfuls of the rabbit. It had been thoughtful of Whitestorm to have the bedding changed, though Firestar still felt that Bluestar's scent lingered in the very walls of the den. Perhaps it always would, and that was no bad thing. There was pain in his memories of her, but comfort too, when he thought of her wisdom and her courage in leading her clan. Shadows gathered around him as the last of the light died. Firestar was acutely conscious of being completely alone for the first time since joining the clan. No warmth of other cats sleeping close by, no soft meows and purrs as his friends shared tongues, no gentle snoring or the sound of cats shifting in their dreams. For a few heartbeats, he felt lonelier than ever. Then he told himself to stop being so mouse-brained. He had an important decision to make, and it was vital for ThunderClan that he get it right. His choice of deputy would affect the life of the clan for seasons to come. Settling deeper into the moss, he wondered whether he ought to sleep now and ask Spotted Leaf in a dream which cat would be the right deputy. He closed his eyes, and almost at once he caught a trace of Spotted Leaf's sweet scent, but no vision came. He could see only darkness. Then, he heard a whisper in his ear, filled with Spotted Leaf's gentle teasing.
Oh no, Firestar. This is your decision.
Sighing, Firestar opened his eyes again. All right, Spotted Leaf, he mewed aloud. I'll decide. The deputy could not be Graystripe, that was clear. And Firestar was grateful to his friend for making that part of his choice easy for him. He let his mind drift over the other possible cats. The new deputy would have to be experienced, and a cat whose loyalty had never been questioned. Sandstorm was brave and intelligent, and choosing her would reassure her more than anything else that Firestar still valued her and wanted her at his side. But that was not the right reason to choose a deputy. Besides, the warrior code dictated that no cat could be deputy without having been a mentor first. Sandstorm had never had an apprentice, so Firestar could not choose her. With a prickle of shame, he recognized that that was his own fault, because he had given Tawnypaw to Brackenfur to mentor, even though Sandstorm had been the obvious choice. He had done it to protect her, afraid that the mentors of Tigerstar's kits would be in danger from their bloodthirsty father. It had taken Sandstorm a long time to forgive him, and Firestar hoped she would never realize that his previous mistake had prevented her from being deputy now. But was Sandstorm really the right choice anyway? Surely there was one cat who towered over all the other possibilities. Whitestorm was experienced, wise, and brave. When Firestar had been made deputy, he had shown not a scrap of the resentment that a lesser cat might have felt. He had supported him from the beginning, and he was the cat Firestar naturally turned to when he needed advice. He was old, yes, but still strong and active. There were a good few moons left before he would be joining the elders in their den. Bluestar would approve, too, for the White Warrior's friendship had meant a great deal to her in her last moons. Yes, Firestar thought. Whitestorm will be the new deputy. He stretched in satisfaction. All that remained was to announce the decision to the clan. Firestar waited for a while, finishing the rabbit, drowsing but not letting himself fall into deep sleep in case he missed Moonhigh. Silver light seeped into the den as the moon rose. Eventually, he got to his paws, shook the scraps of moss from his fur, and padded out into the clearing. Several of the clan were pacing among the ferns at the edge, obviously waiting for the announcement. Sandstorm and the evening patrol had returned and were eating their share of the fresh kill.
Firestar flicked his tail in greeting to the ginger she-cat, but did not go over to speak to her. Instead, he sprang up onto the high rock and yowled, "Let all cats old enough to catch their own prey join here beneath the high rock for a clan meeting." His summons was still ringing in the air when more cats began to appear, slipping from the shelter of their dens or padding into the moonlight from the shadows around the edges of the camp. Firestar saw Darkstripe stalk into the open and sit a few tail lengths away from the rock, his tail wrapped around his paws and a scornful look in his eyes. Unobtrusively, Brackenfur followed him and took up a position close by. Bramblepaw emerged from the apprentice's den. Firestar couldn't help wondering if he would go over to Darkstripe, but he stayed with his sister, Tawnypaw, near the edge of the gathering crowd. The eyes of both apprentices were watchful, flicking back and forth. As Mousefur walked past them, she snapped at Tawnypaw, and the younger she-cat turned her head away sharply, as if she and Mousefur had disagreed over something. Tawnypaw was bright and very confident, Firestar reflected. He wouldn't be surprised if she offended the experienced warriors now and then. Sandstorm and Graystripe were sitting together near the rock, close to Cloudtail and Lostface, and the elders all came out in a group and settled down in the center of the clearing. Firestar saw Whitestorm strolling over from the nettle patch with Cinderpelt. There was no air of anticipation about him as he stopped for a quick word with Fernpaw and Ashpaw before taking his own place beside the high rock. Swallowing his nervousness, Firestar began. "The time has come to appoint a new deputy." Pausing, he felt the presence of Bluestar very close to him as he remembered the ritual words she used to speak. "I say these words before Star Clan," he continued, "that the spirits of our ancestors may hear and approve my choice." By now, all the cats had turned their faces up to him. He looked down at their eyes gleaming in the moonlight and could almost taste their excitement. "White Storm will be the new deputy of Thunder Clan," he announced. For a heartbeat, there was silence. Whitestorm was blinking up at Firestar, a look of pleasure and surprise spreading over his face. Firestar realized that the surprise was part of what he liked so much about the old warrior. Whitestorm had never assumed that he would be the one chosen. Slowly he rose to his paws. "Firestar, cats of Thunder Clan," he meowed. "I never expected to be given this honor. I swear by Star Clan that I will do all I can to serve you." As he finished speaking, sound gradually swelled from the assembled cats, a mixture of yowls and purrs and voices calling, "White Storm!" All the clan began to press around the white warrior, congratulating him. Firestar knew that he had made a very popular choice. For a few moments, he remained on the high rock and watched. A new feeling of optimism surged through his paws, filling him with confidence and warmth. He had his 9 lives. He had the best deputy a cat could wish for. And he had a team of warriors who were ready to face anything. The threat of the pack was over. Firestar had to believe that soon they would be able to drive Tigerstar out of the forest for good. Then, just as he was poised to leap down and offer his own good wishes to Whitestorm, he caught sight of Darkstripe. He alone of all the cats had not moved or spoken. He was staring up at Firestar, and his eyes burned with cold fire. Firestar was instantly reminded of the dreadful vision in the ceremony, the hill of bones and the tide of blood that had flowed from it. Blue Star's words rang in his ears again. "Four will become two. Lion and tiger will meet in battle, and blood will rule the forest." Firestar still did not know what the prophecy meant, but the words were laden with doom. There would be battle and bloodshed. And in Darkstripe's malignant stare, Firestar seemed to see the first cloud that would eventually unleash the storm of war. Chapter 7. A raw, damp cold pushed its way through Firestar's fur as he padded through tall pines. The sky was heavy with gray cloud and seemed undecided between sending rain or snow onto the forest. Here,
Where the ravages of the fire had been worst, ash still covered the ground, and the few plants that had begun to grow back had shriveled again with the coming of Leaf Bear. It was the day after his announcement to the clan, and Firestar had left his new deputy in charge of the camp while he patrolled the border alone. He wanted some time by himself, to get used to being leader, and to think about what lay ahead. Sometimes he felt he would burst with the pride of being chosen by Star Clan to lead Thunder Clan, but he also knew it would not be easy. Grief for Blue Star was a dull ache that would stay with him forever, and he was afraid of what Tiger Star might do next. Firestar could not be comforted, as the other cats were, by the absence of any traces of Shadow Clan in their territory. He knew Tiger Star would not rest until he had brought his enemy down, and news that Firestar was now the leader of Thunder Clan would only fuel the fires of his revenge. Firestar emerged from the trees near Two-Leg Place and looked up at Princess's fence to see if his sister had ventured out of her two-leg nest. But there was no sign of her, and when he drank in the air, he caught only a faint scent. Padding along the edge of the trees, Firestar came to a part of the forest he rarely visited and recognized the two-leg nest where he himself had lived as a kitty pet so many moons.